regular council meeting for Tuesday, February 13th, 2018 is hereby called to order. I'd like to welcome everyone here today. I have no changes to the agenda to bring forward today. Are there any other changes to the agenda today? Hearing none, a motion to approve the agenda is circulated with the order. Moved by Councilor Fisk, seconded by Deputy Mayor Susan McLeod. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. We will now move on to 3.0, presentations. We have a presentation today by Autism Nova Scotia, and I would ask if Cynthia Carroll and Barbara Cochran would please come forward.
So first I want to thank everyone for having myself and my colleague Barb Cochran out this morning to speak with you about an inclusive playground opportunity in the Liverpool area. I'm Cynthia Carroll, I'm the Executive Director of Autism Nova Scotia, and Barb is one of the navigators and volunteers with the South Shore chapter of Autism Nova Scotia. So we're going to start off with a presentation. I would ask that if you have questions throughout the presentation, if you just jot them down, and we'd be happy to answer any questions that you have at the end of the presentation, just so that we can get through it, and then we can open up the floor for any questions that you might have. All right?
Okay. So our topic today is Together We Can, Building an Inclusive Playground in Liverpool. And we have in your folder, just so you know, we put the PowerPoint that we've done today along with our Autism Nova Scotia South Shore chapter. We have a brochure about we're located in Bridgewater, but we also work with people in Queens County, so we've included that in our recent newsletter, just so you can have an idea of what we're up to as far as our programs go and what sorts of things we're offering, especially in your area. We just started a new curling program that's going really well, and I see some of the people here today that have helped to get involved and volunteer with that. So our community story. In 2016, concerned community members addressed mayoral candidates about how they would support individuals with disabilities and their families. There was great conversations about what the region could do to make the most positive impact on the community. The vision of an inclusive playground for all abilities was born. A committee formed and approached Autism Nova Scotia South Shore chapter.
Can you speak up? We can't hear over there.
Okay.
You can go into the middle.
No, actually, the mic will pick you up right if you here. Stand in the middle of the table.
Okay, I'm going back here.
Okay. All right. I'll let you stand there then.
Okay.
And if you just go to the next slide, click enter.
Okay. With the support of the community members, dedicated professional advisors in the South Shore Regional School Board, Autism Nova Scotia is now seeking partnership with the Region of Queens. So there's been a group that have kind of formed to help look at this project, and we've, you know, had some committees that have met, so it's been a really, really positive experience, and we're looking at this area because it's such an awesome place.
Great. So I want to tell you a little bit about Autism Nova Scotia. So Autism Nova Scotia was founded in 2002 by parents, Jack and Joan Craig, who have an adult son on the autism spectrum. Their son actually turned 65 this year. So you can imagine that they've been on this journey for quite some time. And one of the things that the organization really promotes is understanding, acceptance, and inclusion. So when the organization started in 2002, it was started as a resource center and started to grow over time. And offered programs and services across the lifespan. So summer camps, we now offer employment services, all of our chapters offer recreation leisure opportunities. The South Shore chapter, for example, has many programs that are running in Queens that Barb will talk about shortly. And so what you see here today on the screen is you'll see that currently we have 8 chapters across the province, and we all work in collaboration, and part of our mandate at the organization is to build community capacity and always reach and serve more people and families. So that's something that's really important for us, and we continue to kind of grow our programs and services across the lifespan.
So, we are part of the community, the Social Shore Autism Chapter. It opened its doors in 2009. We are actually in Bridgewater High School. And we're currently located in Heffel at the portable behind the school, and so we serve the whole region. We have a satellite lending library at the Autism Center, but we've also set it up at your local library and our library at the LCLC so that parents can borrow from the libraries, but also they borrow from our library in Heffel. And we also have a lot of teacher assistants that come there for training. I happen to teach the TA course, and so they come as well, and we do some make and take. So we're really lucky we have a satellite office kind of in the middle of, you know, the county. It's run by volunteers. We have amazing volunteers. I see some of them out there today, and we're really fortunate that we have volunteers to help build capacity. All donations support the delivery of our programs. So we have the lending library, we've had art programs, we've had swimming, and as a matter of fact, today I was talking to somebody who was just mentioned about their granddaughter that just attended one of our Autism 101 sessions. We did a session for the lifeguards, so our lifeguards are working with kids in our swimming programs and understand autism and special needs. We have a yoga program that's going on in Queens County and also in Bridgewater. And we just started curling for the first time, and we're one of the few regions that have really stepped ahead with curling for kids with autism, and so that was spearheaded in your county. We have a SIP and Connect for parents that occurs once a month, and so we have some people here that are involved in that as well. And there's sponsorships for families to attend respite camps as well. And summer camp bursaries, so people apply for these bursaries and we help to support the summer camps. And adult recreation programs, and then there's also bursaries. So we're partnered with the Social Regional School Board, so there's some bursaries for some kids who've gone on to post-secondary. And I'm sure our programs are expanding, and they're expanding to regions, and Queens has been a big thing this year, so it's really great because we're providing some support to all of our communities.
So I just want to let everybody know a little bit about what autism spectrum disorder is. It is currently the most common neurodevelopmental disorder diagnosed among children today, so prevalence rates are sitting at about 1 in 68. And there was once a belief that autism was 4 times more common in boys than girls, but what we're seeing based on the research now is that girls have historically been underdiagnosed, and so we're seeing that ratio is probably closer to 2 to 1, so or 2 to 4. So it's not quite what they thought historically, but certainly that's the history of where the disorder comes from. We know that autism is across the lifespan, so when you're diagnosed with autism, it's a lifespan, lifelong condition. So children with autism grow up to be adults with autism, and I think when we're talking about an inclusive playground, there are many children with autism that grow up to be adults that still love to swing and still love to be in motion. And so inclusive playgrounds for all ages are also really important part of considering what accessibility is. And, you know, part of our mandate and our vision at Autism Nova Scotia is to ensure that all individuals on the autism spectrum can lead their lives to the fullest and that families are fully supported. And when we say families, we don't just mean parents and caregivers, we mean extended families, grandparents, aunts, siblings. You know, when you're talking about special needs, and specifically in this case autism, you know, there really is, does take a community to embrace families and ensure that we have inclusive communities that are fully supported.
Takes a village, right? One thing I was going to mention too, Cynthia, what's happened too, we just started a Girls Strong program because the need, and we're realizing how much more common it is for girls with autism.
We see a lot of adults, a lot of young women who come into our center in Halifax and certainly access a lot of our chapters now as well. And more women on the spectrum are coming forward and wanting to get involved.
So as a prior working with the school board as a consultant for student services, I was really curious about the data. Like, tell me what the data is, tell me what it is in Queens County. Let's make sure we have a way to look at that now. So Catherine Ray, who was also my colleague from the school board, she was able to get some data for this. So there's currently 200 students with autism in the Social Regional School Board alone. And then in addition, there's over 1,000 school-aged
children within the region that have physical, developmental, or other disabilities. So it's kind of nice to know that data, like how many, you know, who are we talking about here? These children and families need and deserve inclusive opportunities, enjoy healthy and happy living in the community. And I love this quote, "When children with special needs are able to play alongside their peers, they learn that they are welcome and that their differences do not exclude them from their community." And that was Laura Getson, one of our ABSI workers. And I mean, we've come so far with inclusion, and so what's awesome, what we're proposing would be something that would be very inclusive of all, right?
So one of the other really exciting but important things as we're talking about Inclusive Playground for Liverpool is I had the pleasure of sitting on the Minister of Community Services Advisory Board for Accessibility Legislation when it was being developed started a while ago. And I was part of the consultation around accessibility legislation and kind of pushing that into where it is now, which means that Nova Scotia is coming on board as the third province in Canada with an accessibility legislation, which is really exciting. And I learned a lot around, you know, accessibility, what that means around information technology, but also built environment and communities and how, for example, even municipal recreation. So what does that mean around accessibility of programs and even in communities? And so one of the things that's really exciting about an inclusive playground in Liverpool is that, you know, we really don't have a lot of inclusive playgrounds in our province. You know, we have one in Halifax, you know, it's West Mount Playground. We use it for our autism camp all the time. And we actually specifically have to go as a destination to that playground to ensure that children in the camp can have a playground experience. So, you know, having Liverpool come on board with an inclusive playground is really quite progressive and innovative, and also kind of brings the city kind of next in line outside of one playground in Halifax. And you would think Halifax would have more inclusive playgrounds, but they don't. And so it really is an opportunity for Liverpool, but it also shows that, you know, we're serious as a province in getting ahead of accessibility legislation and standards that are now being developed. So it's really exciting and pleased that we're here to be able to present this opportunity today, but that also there's a willingness among council and around in the town and the city to be able to have this opportunity. So I think that's really what I wanted to mention about this slide around the opportunities that exist.
And so I wanted to mention about that too. I see the Recreation Department here.
Hi.
What's very exciting in your region too, and in Queens and Lunenburg County, is we also have some loaning equipment to get kids to like the playground. So we've gotten some, we're doing it through our rec department. So it's great, kids are able to use these hippocampus, this special kind of a stroller wheelchair that we can use to get kids like into the playground now. So which is awesome. So there's, you know, we've got that. So it really, we are really looking at accessibility and how we can get kids there.
Yeah,
right?
And it's complementary,
yeah.
Right?
We, yeah, it's complementing what we want. So what is an inclusive playground? So it promotes meaningful play experiences for people of all ages and abilities. And I believe you might have in your package the 7 principles of inclusive playground design on page 33, that there's a chart around what is an inclusive playground. And it's universally designed play environment that increases playability for all people of diverse abilities. Regardless of ability, play addresses the developmental needs of the whole child, intentionally providing opportunities for physical, cognitive, communicate, social, emotional, sensory. Play is for everyone, and we have some people from early childhood that are here, and we all know how important play is. And as adults, I think we like to do that too. So what is our community saying? So we're really fortunate. We had some testimonials from community members, and I want to thank Debbie Wombolt, who was able to reach out to some of the parents and people she'd been talking to. And I'll just read one of the quotes and then we'll just go through them, because it's amazing what our community is saying, and it's your community that's saying this. "As a parent of an 8-year-old, I think it would be a great idea to have an inclusive playground. A parent of a child who wanders should have a place to go where they're able to give their child more freedom and let them or her feel like they can go on and explore." That was Candace. Let you read the next one. So the next few slides, I'll just let you read what the people are saying. And we also have the letters I think we've included in there as well. Denise, well done. Doreen. Tell me if I'm So the propos-
So one of the proposed playground site is 72 Old Cobbs Farm Road, and Barb, I'm actually gonna let you talk a little
bit
about this.
Okay, so this, everybody knows who this is, everybody that's from this area. So it's located by the Queen Zamara Center in the corner section of the property. It's away from water, which is really important for our kids and our families. It has grass and natural areas, a secluded parking, so the parking's awesome there. The skateboard park, which is top-notch, and the BMX bike track, and then having the washrooms and the other services. So the opportunities for recreation for all members of the family. So you could, I can see people coming from anywhere in the region, really, to come to this playground, because you also have that, the Amaro Center there, which is totally amazing. I drive up once a week to go to the fitness center there. I love it. So if you look, there's all kinds of parking, which is awesome. The nice green space there. So other locations were considered. So safety and accessibility was the big thing, right? So they had to look at where the inclusive playground would be best suited. It had to be close to parking and far enough away from busy streets, because that's a real issue for us, is the busy streets, in case a child should bolt. So there, you know how it's kind of enclosed, it would be a perfect spot. Bodies of water are a problem, you know, regarding the hazard for children with autism, so we had to be away from rivers and lakes and streams and things of that nature. The alternate locations were considered, and we did have some people that went out and looked around, and I just wanted to, you know, thank Debbie, because she was really involved in this. Debbie Womble was involved in helping to look at some of the sites along with some others. The Milton by the swimming pool, but there was little access to the services there. Pine Grove Park, there was limited open space, but and it was next to the river. And the Hank Snow Park, it was on a busy road and there was limited parking. And the private waterfront park in Liverpool, and the issue there was the river, so that's why this seemed to be the obvious. And the other thing is, it's close to the highway too, that's another thing, we didn't mention that, but I think for people that are coming from other communities too, because I can see other people coming, definitely.
So the next part of the presentation starts to look at the kinds of inclusive equipment that we could put in an inclusive playground space. It doesn't mean that the pictures that you see on the screen are gonna be the exact pictures, so we've done some initial research. Autism Nova Scotia has, and a copy is in your package, has already submitted a very extensive proposal to start to look at fundraising to raise the funds that it will take to make this playground come to fruition. So again, as we talked about, you know, when you're talking about an inclusive playground, you're talking about universal design and using the seven principles of universal design. So those are all things to keep in mind as we're going through. So again, it doesn't mean that this is going to be the actual equipment, but we want to talk a little bit about things like, you know, wheelchair accessible picnic tables. You know, those are all definite must in an inclusive playground, so it might not be the model that's shown, but those are the kinds of pieces of equipment that we will be looking at, okay? We also will continue to work with professionals on the design of the inclusive playground, including occupational therapists and as well as architects and designers who are experts in this area, so that it actually will be kind of the very best of what can be, which is another great opportunity for the region. So this is an example of, and we're going to see this sketch laid out a little bit later. So this is a larger unit that could potentially be one of the pieces in the playground. And it's specific for ages 5 to 12. And so when you're having an all-ages inclusive playground, that's the other thing that we want to be looking at. So having areas that are for younger preschool children, having spaces and equipment that is inclusive for children between 5 and 12, and then also looking at older teens with special needs and autism and adults that, you know, there's equipment that specifically swings and things that can hold up to, say, 250 pounds, so that if a parent needs to go on a swing with a child, it can be done in a safe way, or if you have a child who's a little bit heavier, then it still can be accommodating. So here's, again, examples of climbing ropes. These would be some samples of wheelchair accessible picnic tables, and I know Bart had mentioned that these do exist in other parts of the municipality and are quite.
Yeah, at some of our schools, we put in the inclusive picnic tables. It's just awesome to see the kids to be able to participate, you know, with everybody else.
I really like this low slide, so you'll see this in the bottom right of this particular picture. So there are no steps to this slide. It's a slight inclined plane. So if you have a child or an older child who has kind of gross motor challenges, they can still kind of get up and get down the slide. And of course, you have things like hobby horses. One of the things that was important in the initial conversations was ensuring that we kind of preserve the kind of attractive natural features, but also keeping in mind that we can't have anything that's too high or low, because again, we want stuff that kind of blends in with the natural environment and adds a nice appeal, but is not going to become a tripping hazard. So all those things are considered when you're looking at inclusive playgrounds. Here's some sample swings. So you can see we've got wheelchair inclusive swings, all ages and body sizes, and this is where an inclusive park like this becomes an all ages park, when we're able to install swings that really can be for multi-use regardless of ability.
And Cynthia, the other advantage is because Autism Nova Scotia's social chapter is kind of linked with the Social Regional School Board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things that have worked and things that haven't. So like, for instance, these accessible swings, we've had them at schools. But when children move, we've had to move the swings. So what would be nice if these would be stationary somewhere,
mm-hmm.
right? And we know that they work. So working with that partnership is, I think, really going to be important.
Yeah. Things like low bridges and steering wheels. So again, just having lots of opportunity to engage and play within the playground. That's even outside of things like slides and, you know, to foster imaginative play and opportunities for children who may not want to slide or swing, but make sure that there's lots of choice there. This is a wheelchair-inclusive merry-go-round, and you know, I know that West Mount Playground, I don't think they even have one of these, so again, keeping in mind for physical disabilities as well, that when we're looking at pieces of equipment, that it's as inclusive as possible. One of the things that we do know about children with autism, although I would argue that this is children of all ages and stages, is people love water play. So an opportunity to put in some kind of a splash pad or some kind of water play area in the playground was something that was quite attractive to the committee, and something that would be a nice addition to an inclusive playground. And again, size of the splash pad and what the splash pad would look like would all depend on funding and the amount of dollars raised for the inclusive playground, but it certainly is one of the considerations that we would like to see.
And I'm thinking lots of family members would like it as well, parents.
Yeah.
And
oh, absolutely. So this is just to kind of show you some of the work we've done on this around planning and wanting to make sure that we're quite comprehensive and when we're thinking about this particular site. So the picture you saw earlier, this would be a schematic of that playground set between ages 5 to 12. And so if you look to the next slide there, Barb, you can see if you look at the plot of land that we're looking at and talking to you guys about, it actually fits nicely up in a particular area, which still leaves lots of space for other playground equipment, splash pads. And so you can see how it is a very nicely designed space that you could section off and put different pieces of equipment on the land that's being discussed. So what's our commitment? So Autism Nova Scotia is committed to fundraising and grant writing and partnership around the playground design, purchasing of equipment, looking at, as well as for the installation of the fencing and other major pieces of equipment, including splash pad, sources and coordination of construction. We would do this in partnership, of course, with the Region of Queens. What we're requesting today is in-kind use of the land at 72 Old Cobbs Road with an estimated value, we're expecting around $39,000. Ongoing support of the playground, including the insurance, maintenance services, and utilities. So Autism Nova Scotia is a not-for-profit charity, so we're very committed to working with the county to fundraise and make this come this happen, but also recognizing that ongoing maintenance kind of falls outside of our abilities and resources. And also working in collaboration with the county to look at grant writing opportunities that you may be aware of, that we may not be aware of, and kind of working together on that. So looking for a total contribution from the city for $54,000 in kind. And we estimate that the total cost of the project will be probably $462,000. And again, that's based on kind of some initial projections of equipment costs, as well as factoring in some of the building costs as well. And there is a detailed breakdown in the thicker proposal of how that $462,000 breaks down. So what would be for equipment costs, what would be for building, things like that. So with an investment of $54,000 in kind support for the playground, the region of Queens will become home to one of the only inclusive playgrounds on the South Shore, and that's something that I think we would all be very proud of. Approximately 1,200 children and youth with disabilities in the region will have a safe and fun place to play alongside their peers. Liverpool would become a destination for families. You know, Barb talks about how she drives to the Amira Center to exercise in the morning. But very much like how in Halifax we have our camp in Spryfield, but we bus children to Westmount Playground, right? That playground has become a destination, certainly for us, and not just us, but for other camps and other families in Halifax. So I can say with experience that when you build an inclusive playground, it does become a destination, which is a wonderful thing. And again, just reinforcing that we have accessibility legislation now in Nova Scotia, and what's always inspiring to see are people getting out in front of that legislation and becoming innovative and being leaders versus, you know, waiting for things to kind of come in and doing something maybe a little bit later down the road. But I think that they're always leaders in communities, and I'm really pleased to be standing here and talking about the leadership of Liverpool, so it's very exciting.
So acknowledgements. Autism Nova Scotia is a South Shore chapter, so it's a group of volunteers. We'd like to acknowledge them. The South Shore Regional School Board, because they partnered with us. Catherine Ray, who's not able to be here today, but she's also the autism consultant with the school board, and also is the chair of the Autism Nova Scotia South Shore chapter. Barb Wellsford, assistive technology specialist. So we've been really lucky because there's people that we could tap into that we could say, you know, what sorts of things do we need to look at when we're looking at an accessible playground. Cynthia Carroll, Autism Nova Scotia, has done a lot of groundwork for us, which has really been helpful. It's been a team that's done that, along with Robin from Autism Nova Scotia. And especially the families, that's who I really want to thank, because they've been involved and done a lot of the legwork and helped with some of our, you know, getting that information out. What do you want? What do you need in this area? We've also, you know, we should have mentioned, so some other people we've asked, ABSE, Atlanta Province Special Education Authority, and there's another girl, Michelle Moreau, who has been involved in building accessible playgrounds. We've really kind of done some research around what's available to us. And of course, the Region of Queens, for your kind consideration of this worthy project. And special thanks to Mayor David Dagley for his enthusiastic reception of this community-led vision.
I just want to mention too, I just want to acknowledge again Lily Wobbles, and I have to acknowledge her because when I spoke to her about this original project before we decided, you know what, let's just take this on and tackle this, the passion of families is something that guides me every day as Executive Director of Autism Nova Scotia, but I really want to thank Debbie for taking the time to research opportunities, but also recognize that this would be a valuable enhancement of Liverpool area. And she certainly is very passionate about this project, and I know that she's put a lot of time and commitment into helping and working as part of a bigger team to bring us here today to present to you. So I really do want to acknowledge you, Debbie, and thank you for all you've done.
Thank you. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
And now we'll open the floor to questions.
So any councillors have questions or comments this morning? Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Wow, what a presentation. You just covered everything. It's amazing. I'd let you know that I am involved with the Sip and Connect program here.
Oh, great.
Part of that group as well,
okay.
So.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so, and I know Debbie, and I will reiterate what you've said. She
yeah.
works so hard and diligently on getting the messages out, and she's been a great person to organize, and she's right there.
Yeah.
She doesn't let go of anything, you
yeah.
know. She just loves it. She keeps us all up to date on what's happening. So.
Right.
But I have to agree with you that this is a project that is good for everybody. It's a win-win for everybody. And I really feel that we have to really pay more attention to the needs of people that have challenges, and society are doing that more and more. But we can't let anyone out of the spectrum. We have to make sure that we get everybody involved. And I really, really, really feel that Queen's Place is the location for that. I had a question last night to Debbie about the splash pad, because
mm-hmm.
you know there are specific locations for that, and can that be part of it? These are things that can be actually built on. It doesn't have to be an initial beginning, but once you get the park organized, if it happens, then you can see, okay, we need this, because there is a demand for that and a need for that. And it all goes back to the well-being of the people that use it. And I appreciate you very much for coming. Great presentation.
Thank you.
Other councillors? Councillor Philip?
Thank you very much for the presentation. It was very enlightening. And I certainly appreciate everything that you presented. However, I have a couple of concerns. I always think that partnerships are very valuable, and when you're going to a project like this, especially one when you look at the bottom price and what you're, you know, what you're looking at. And I would have been happy to see other partners at the table. I know that there's, you know, QASL, which is special needs. They deal with autism daily, and they would be a perfect partner. There's an organization in town that also was looking at having an all-inclusive park geared at seniors. So that would be a great partnership that would make your job raising funds a little bit easier. So because they had money to invest. So and then I know there's another committee out there looking at a splash pad for the downtown. So trying to raise money for both of those is a bit overwhelming. So I would like to see those explored so that maybe it wouldn't be so overwhelming. So that's my concern. I have a concern about the location, but I understand fully why that you would select that. One of our priorities is to focus on our downtown. And so I had a question about, it sounds like the whole park is going to be enclosed over at Queen's Place. What's the difference between having it enclosed there or having it enclosed in the downtown park, like next to the river?
So children with autism can scale fences very quickly.
Okay.
And not
safety.
To say that all children with autism would scale a fence very quickly, but we do have parents in the city who have even reversed fences. So, you know, like on the inside of a wooden fence, you would have, like, they've actually built it the opposite way with permission of the neighbors, and children are still able to scale those fences. So I think the concern would be,
safety,
if you're talking about a playground, you're talking about a chain link fence, because of, you have to think of things like long-term costs for repairs and things like that. So it would definitely be a chain link fence, which represents kind of like the picture, which is like the climbing rope. So that represents another potential climbing rope. If an enclosed spot, like where the location has been selected, they do scale that fence for whatever reason, and again, we don't know, right?
Yeah.
It depends on the child.
Yeah.
They're going to be scaling the fence into a wooded area, which will still allow time to, you know, they're not going to be near immediately something that it could potentially be incredibly harmful, like immediately harmful, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So it's not to say that it couldn't happen, but these are the things that when we're looking at locations that we have to be considerate of. And I would say that that's not just children with autism. You know, you would have children who might have ADHD, or children who are very impulsive that do have a tendency to bolt or run quickly. And again, depending on the mobility of a parent, can be life or death situations, and those are extreme cases that we're talking about, but just to let you know the rationale behind that. It doesn't mean that it couldn't be considered, it means that we need to, those are the decisions that we base the presentation on. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, it certainly does, thank you.
And thank you, Brian, those are good suggestions of the other partners to get involved, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, this is an inclusive playground for all, and
yeah,
if partners wanna come to the table.
Yeah.
There are lots of seats.
There are lots of seats.
Yeah.
Lots of jobs for them. No.
Yeah.
So what would be that process to get those potential partners?
They can just reach out, or if you can get us contact information, we can reach out and
We would have our email, it would be great if you could send us that information, we would really appreciate it. Yeah.
Because as you saw, you know, the cost of the playground at $460,000+, you know, when we started this conversation it was $150,000 playground.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay. And then it was like growing, right?
Yeah.
And then we got water, and then I was like, okay, you know, now we're at $500,000, right? And Autism Nova Scotia is quite an established organization, but raising $500,000 is a lot of, like, fundraising, that's a lot of money for an organization. And for a chapter on the South Shore who, you know, really invests all of the dollars raised into programs and services for families is a big commitment, which is why, you know, we got involved as a full organization.
Yeah. And it's central, which is nice to the people coming from the other end of the ward, you know, or the other end of the county, and then coming from.
Yeah. But having the more people get involved and collaboration, I mean, it's all about how do we build community capacity together, right? And we're not, one thing Autism Nova Scotia is not about is silos, right?
Yep.
There's opportunities, we know that some programs are very unique and specialized for autism, but we have a lot of our families who participate in all-inclusive programs, and we, as Barb said, we provide training to swim instructors, and it's all about how do we build capacity, right?
Any other councillor? Councillor Kelly?
Yes, thank you for your presentation, and I love it when new things come to our community because it enhances our community for everybody that lives here. So it's a wonderful opportunity. I'm always interested, you touched on a little bit, why people choose Liverpool, and it is central to, I suppose, the South Shore. But I mean, I know why I would choose Liverpool, but can you touch on that? Like, why Liverpool specifically, other than it's just a central location? Did you look at other communities as well? And only because I'm interested
in
what they see in Liverpool as well, just to enhance my vision of Liverpool.
I would say just the data too, there's a high amount of kids with special needs here, so I think that was one of the determining factors, and we had a group of parents, community members that really kind of spearheaded this. So I think that was another determining factor. And it's an amazing area. They have family here.
All
it's
right.
The rocking place it is.
Thank you. It's good to hear that.
And
yeah, and for us, you know, for us to get involved as an organization, there has to be passion and willingness in the community, and Liverpool showed that leadership.
Right.
And I'm going to be really honest about that. So, you know, we didn't have any great community come to us and say, you know, or a group of parents saying, you know, we need an inclusive playground. So I think you have champions in your community members. I think that the fact that we're sitting here presenting to council shows that you're innovative and looking at new ideas to continuously build your community, which is something that we, and that it's a collaborative partnership, right? I mean, we're asking for things from Liverpool as well, right? And that takes, you know, what we said earlier, it takes a village to make something like this happen. So, and everyone has different roles, and so I think that, to be honest about that is, you know, we've got parents and a community that is asking for it, right? We did our research initially around, you know, would this be a viable location, right? Is there space, is there a willingness to partner with the municipality, and all of those were checked off, yes. So that's why we came to Liverpool.
And so I want to just mention, last night I got a text from my daughter who's in Calgary, and she sent me something on an accessible playground in Red Deer. And so I watched the video on it, and it was so interesting because they were doing some kind of fundraising, and when I was watching it, it was like, it was the passionate group that made this happen, because I was like, how come this little tiny place in Red Deer has this amazing accessible playground? And they showcased the parents, the families, they had interviews, and I went, oh my gosh, that's like Liverpool. You know, that's what it is. It's, you know, having that group that's willing to go the extra mile.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big part of it.
I just wanted to touch a bit on the location as well. I couldn't tell from the picture, but it looks like that portion, there's quite a few trees in between that and the ground search and rescue. So is it the whole area treed that you're looking at, or is that before the treed area in the, over there in the park?
Do you want to just bring up the picture?
I'm just wondering, is that area going to have to be cleared of those trees in order to fit the, and would there still be a buffer between that and the ground search and rescue?
I think one of the things that, what I can say right off the bat for that would be, you know, once the playground layout is finalized and the equipment is chosen for the space, then that, those are things that we would have to consider, right? So that, you're just talking about another potential collaborative partner, right? So making sure that if there is a buffer of tree line or search and rescue, you know, that they're involved in the.
Found it, sorry.
So it's just the bottom part.
Yeah, so it looks like it's just this piece right here.
It's different when you look at it from this, from above.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To see where it is.
So it doesn't look like, I mean, you've got a very well-treed area there. I wouldn't say that there would be a lot of clear cutting going on.
And there'd be advising from, of course, whoever, right? I mean, appropriate people, right? That would be, yeah.
And just one last thing on location. I just want to reiterate what Councillor Frelick said, in that I'm councillor for District 2, that's our downtown core, and as a council, one of our, as you said, our key strategic priorities is to revitalize our downtown area. And, you know, Queen's Place is growing rapidly, we've just put the skate park there, and, you know, so that you're aware, you know, when these things do happen, they are enhancement to our community, they are a draw to our community, but also our downtown core, sort of Main Street businesses and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very anxious that, you know, to have something in that area that's going to draw people through. I mean, it isn't accessible to people coming into our community from outside as the highway. You're just nipping off of exit 19, but you're stopping there and people are staying there, and we're trying to get them to come straight into Liverpool as well. So, I mean, you know, there's opportunities over there, and I do understand why you're over there, but I like people to think about, you know, bringing things in to our community, into Liverpool as well. So, and there's the accessibility as well for seniors. I mean, we have our senior population and senior housing mostly on in the sort of District 2 area, and for those people that are walking, that it's not so accessible for those people that are that, you know, that don't have transportation,
mm-hmm.
to actually get over to that area to use that park. But, you know, I know there's the balance there in what you're trying to achieve, but like people to be aware of those things as well. We are in the process of looking at transportation, but we still have those accessibility issues for people,
mm-hmm.
that would try to get to, be trying to get to the park that don't have their own transportation as well.
Other councillors? Does that particular footprint include the splash pad as well?
Yeah.
Councillor Fancy?
Yes, a great presentation. I mean, you fellows have done your homework. There's no doubt about it. You've located an area, and you see how it will all work. And applaud you for everything you've done. I mean, especially Debbie. She's a dynamite person, as you know. One other spot I wondered if you ever considered is up by Mount Pleasant, where Mount Pleasant School is, because that's going to become available. It's a large piece of area up there. I know it's a way, but it's up by the high school. And we talk about partnerships, right, and things like that. The plants have laid in the community gardens and everything is already there. And it had other partnerships. We're looking at trying to get a running track over by the high school, so a good, nice level walking area for seniors. We're getting apartments up that way, up at Cobbs Ridge and everything else. So everything kind of goes that way. Now we've got the old building there, which is destined to be torn down. That doesn't mean it can't be. It could be bought for a dollar, you know, from not-for-profit if they were to apply for it. Again, partnerships, things can come together there where you have a lot of place to, it's not near water, it's a clean, safe spot. It just is a thought is while you're doing this before it gets done.
Councillor Fisk?
First of all, it was a great presentation, very much enjoyed. Debbie Womble, high praises for Debbie. Also, the mothers, fathers that are involved in Queens, Queens County to help Debbie with all the things that are happening. They deserve credit also. But Debbie, you do work very hard, and I get a lot of phone calls from Debbie, so.
That doesn't surprise person.
Anyway, one thing I'd like to ask is the finance part was $462,000. We're talking. What about Autism Nova Scotia? Are they willing to step up to the plate?
So we're actually fundraising for those funds right now.
You are, okay.
Mm-hmm. So we've already applied for one grant.
And I think, Cynthia, there's some information in the package about that, isn't there?
Yeah,
yeah,
there is, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
so we have a full package that we've put together. And we've also already invested probably over 100 hours in the research and pulling together even packages for you guys today. And that takes considerable resources of a not-for-profit. So when this opportunity came about, it wasn't something we had in our strategic work plan for the year. It was an opportunity that came about that we felt was really important. And so we've been allocating resources of our Halifax office, but also our South Shore chapter has been allocating a lot of hours and time into just even, you know, connecting with OTs, you know, looking at costs of materials, you know, connecting with APSE. And, you know, people like Debbie have also been putting in hours of hundreds of volunteer hours to try to move this forward. And I think, you know, the location at this point was well thought out. Everyone's brought up great opportunities, you know, of potential locations. I think, you know, what we need to define today, or, you know, why we're here today, is we can't move forward without you, right? So you have the land, we don't have land, right? We have a passion, and, you know, there are things where I would say Autism Nova Scotia is a specialist in around selecting a piece of land and looking at, you know, what factors need to be considered to make sure that it's inclusive and accessible for, you know, children, youth, and adults with autism. But our interests are also ensuring that children of all ages and abilities, right, mm-hmm. have access to an accessible, inclusive playground. So I think for us, you know, we have, I would say, yes, we have invested a lot of funds to date in just even getting it for this presentation, and we're committed to working collaboratively with partners, with the city, with everyone to hit that $460,000 mark, because I'm not going to lie, that's going to take effort, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is going to take effort. That is not a small campaign by any means. So, you know, we're saying that we're in, and we want to work collaboratively and make this come to fruition for Liverpool. And I think that, you know, I don't know, I mean, I know Liverpool because I've been here, and I've been to the downtown, and I come down through the South Shore all the time. I don't know Liverpool like you know Liverpool, right? That everyone here knows Liverpool, right? And, you know, this location made a lot of sense, right? And this is why we're presenting it to you. We know that we have done research, right? So it's a question of, like, fences, how do we, you know, but also recognizing that, you know, there is a strategic plan for the Liverpool community too, and how do we work collaboratively to, maybe this is the site, maybe we need to look at other sites, but ultimately in the end, we want to move the project forward, and it has to kind of work for everyone, right?
Just one more question.
Sure.
Have you taken the time, and how long it would take to get the funds available to create this park?
So I would say our goal is to have the park built within a year. So depending on the outcome of testing, right? I mean, we are very known for moving quickly. Although we're a not-for-profit, you know, we have an amazing team of professionals on staff. We have great collaborative partnerships in our communities, and I would say right across
the get stuff done, I want to tell you.
We get stuff done.
We decide we're doing something, and we just go for it. And there's
yeah.
We know how to kind of link, you know, reach out to the different community partners and people that are going to help move us forward. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say there's no shortage of people that...
yeah. And, you know, at some point, you know, if this project moves forward, there will be phases to a project too, right? So, you know, how do we start to phase this in, and what gets, you know, do you build it all at once? Do you build it in phases? And I mean, these are all questions based on funding, like partners' commitment. I mean, I can't answer all those questions. families. You know, we have a beautiful young girl, right, here today that...
It was nice to see that you have a very positive outlook on the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's very exciting. You know, you got to think of where we're going down the road. And, you know, and even if we build it, doesn't mean we can't, even if it's fully, we might think of something after we've built something that's $460,000 and say, you know what, if we can fundraise some more money, we might be able to put a beautiful walking path over here or something. So, I mean, I think there's opportunities, right?
Yep.
It's Councilor Kelly?
I'll Raymond ask my question. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Deputy Mayor McLeod?
And this, when you say all-inclusive and inclusive, it's open to anyone to use it, right?
Of course.
So what I'm thinking about now is it certainly will be an advantage to have that in that location, because anyone that it provides more exposure for Queen's Place to the other programs that some of the users of this park may be interested in. You know, I mean, you talk about curling, well, there's skating, there's other things happening at Queen's Place that they may encourage them to be curious and say, what's going on there? Maybe I can participate in some of those as well. So
some of the points that you brought up today are really valid points. So think of the downtown core,
yeah,
right? So there's rivers there, okay? So water is a draw to children with autism, actually anyone with autism, right? You know, we're talking about a splash pad here, but maybe a smaller splash pad goes in here, and then, you know, we look at another spot in the downtown core where you actually build a splash pad, which would keep the children, like, I mean, not that I want to get too technical about autism, but, you know, what motivates and reinforces, right, individuals on the spectrum to not bolt, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, if there's an area that's encased, right, but it's a splash pad, you know, and it's in the downtown, well, that's something that, you know, would potentially, you know, keep,
yeah,
you know, a child with autism,
yeah,
in the splash pad versus trying to scale a fence to get to a river that might not be as reinforcing as the splash pad, for example, that is in front of them. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, you know, I think there's opportunities to have conversations. What we're saying is we're committed partners. We get more partners to the table and we start to join initiatives and we create, you know, I'm a big thinker, so I always have to be careful to kind of keep it, you know,
scale it
to make it doable. But, you know, if other parties come to the table and say, well, you know what, we can contribute this piece and
yeah,
we're going to help fundraise for this
idea,
and let's split it. So we put the splash pad, a bigger splash pad maybe in the downtown core, a smaller splash pad at this location, right? Then it's kind of like the best of both worlds and becomes even more of a destination and attraction for Liverpool.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I think there's,
yeah,
and those are just kind of brainstormed ideas, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah,
for us, when we're getting involved in this, it started with a group of passionate people in the social work chapter that came to us and said, you know, here's an opportunity. And, you know, we had to weigh all of it, right? Because we all have limited resources, but we have to also believe in a project to make it come to reality. And so, you know, we're on board, but I love the idea. If we can get more people and coordinate efforts, like, many hands make light work, right? And
especially with the all-inclusive, because then that would be inclusive.
And it comes down to, you know, what is available, right? What is available from the city's perspective, and, you know, what does the city bring to the table? What can we bring to the table of autism in Nova Scotia? How can we collaborate with other partners to bring things to the table? And then how do we start to design and discuss what something like this could look like? And then you have to kind of adjust your timeline. So do you go and build it in phases? You know, how do you fundraise for it? How do we work collaboratively together to make it a reality? Because, you know, if you're adding two projects or a smaller splash pad or one spot and a bigger one on maybe another piece of land, then, you know, it's all doable, but it might end up being $560,000. I don't know, right? Like, but we'd have to cost that out. And we have the ability to do that, right? We've done the initial research. We know where these manufacturers and are. So, you know, and I'm sure, I mean, I got an email the other day. I don't even know how they got my email address, by somebody who apparently designs water splash pads, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they had heard that we were potentially looking at this in the
Liverpool
area, and I don't know who this person is,
yeah,
but I'm now getting emails in my inbox. So either the word is out, or, you know, we've been doing some research, and so people are starting to get wind that we're looking at something like this for Liverpool, and now people are emailing me. So.
And as everybody knows in the room, it's a very forward-thinking, innovative community,
mm-hmm,
that has done amazing things. Everybody from this area knows that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that just to, because as I'm thinking about what you guys are saying, right, there's always opportunities, right? And I think that nothing is non-negotiable in my mind, right? So especially when you're collaborating. At some point, we have to make a decision. Yeah, we don't want to keep talking about it 2 years down the road and not have it available to the community. But I think there are opportunities to have conversations around how do we make things work.
Councillor Johnson, I think you had your hand up. Councillor Fraley?
One of the things that I'm really excited about what you're doing is accessibility has always been a challenge for us. We're a community that faces, you know, we talk about our sidewalks, getting in stores, you know, even going to the park. You know, we have one wheelchair table, picnic table in the park, but there's challenges with that as well, and challenges in the park. There's a lot of issues, as everyone knows, because you know, accessibility has not been at the forefront in most communities, but I think this is really going to open the conversation up with what you're doing and how important it is for us as a community to embrace accessibility all around. So that's the, for me, it's really exciting that you're doing that. I've sat on some accessibility committees for UNSM, and it's province-wide, the challenges that we face, but if we tackle it head-on and get some different partners, then it really does open up a lot of conversations, so thank you for that, it's great.
Any other councillors have a comment or a question this morning? Councillor Fancy?
Yeah, again, so, and when we ask all these questions, it isn't, it will never be to say that we're negative toward this, because we're definitely, again, it's what you had said, we are forward-thinking. I think the community is going forward. I was talking to some of the real estate agents the other day, again, they said the second best year they've had, that last year they had, so people are buying, they're coming in because of things. And because of a playground such as this, or accessibility for seniors, things like that, is all part of what people want to move to communities, and that's, and so what you're doing is fantastic. It's, I think we're definitely behind it in that way.
Any other councillors this morning like to comment on this? Well, it's been an interesting conversation. On behalf of council, our staff, and residents of the region of Queens, we'd like to thank you, Cynthia and Barb, for your presentation this morning. It's very impressive. We will look to, as a council, we will look to our staff for advisement on your proposal, and certainly we'll be responding back to that at a later date, not too far into the future, hopefully. You're welcome to stay or leave according to your schedule, and we have very shortly a ability for those in the public gallery to provide public comments today, so I just wanted to bring that to your attention. So
okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
I do have to get back to Halifax, so I do apologize that I'm here today, but if anyone needs to reach me, I'm happy to. My contact information is in each of your folders, and I'm happy to answer any questions or have further conversations, or please link me with whomever you feel that we should be linked with around, you know, working collaboratively.
Move on to item 4.0, tabling of petitions. Are there any petitions to be tabled today? Second call for petitions. Third and final call for petitions. We have no petitions today. At 5.0, public question comment session, we will allow members of the public gallery to speak for up to 5 minutes. Please state your name and address.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Leon Robinson, Congress Street, Liverpool. Comment on the presentation. It was very interesting and informative, and it appears that it was a line of service that is needed in the area, and I'm sure our council will give it serious consideration in the future. I'd just like to point out the pending announcements and so on. I know you wrote a number of large projects or large projects on your thinking right now with respect to the
Allen would like to speak today?
Mary White, Commissioner. I'd like to say that I think I think the presentation was absolutely excellent. I'm all for being as inclusive as possible in the area. I think we need to be forward thinking. And I would like to also say that I think that there is an alternative site if they wish to look at it, and that would be 108 Pleasant Street in conjunction with the community garden, which has shown great benefits. And if you look at some of the research that's been done, it's been shown that placing people with autism as well as other disabilities in nature alongside of gardens, with especially sensory gardens, so that they can taste, hear, feel, smell, all of that, is actually showing some progress in stopping, slowing down, and helping people to recover from traumatic brain injuries, autism, et cetera, and as well as that, if it's something that they're interested in looking at, I think we can do a complete venue for the community there, where it will be inclusive with the high school, inclusive with the public. We can have picnic spaces, all kinds of things like that, so that it would be a real good venue, something above and beyond just an open, inclusive playground. I think we could have something that you're not going to find anywhere else. It's also in the downtown area, close to the hospital. We would like to have a fence. There's all kinds of things that could be doubled up on resources there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak today?
Yes, Stan Clark, 48 Carter Speech Road. The presentation was excellent. A lot of groundwork done there. And I also want to go along with Mary's remarks about the location up there and what could be invested in that area as a whole with more venues than just a park. There could be a seasonal thing where you could do in the spring, fall, things in the winter. I never realized. I know 1 in 68 autism. I know it's becoming more and more adapt to everyone being acknowledged to it. I was surprised at the statistics that showed you right in our region. It's quite high. I was surprised. Also in the presentation, I was wondering about infrastructure as far as washrooms, places for storage for care of equipment, and first aid stations, all this. Has this been taken into consideration with that project altogether?
To help assist you in that inquiry, Stan, I'm understanding that they looked at the service support that was available in Queens Place, Amira Center, such as the washroom, such as the hub canteen, such as the parking. The playground really would have equipment that would remain there year-round. It would not be a take-down, put-up issue. So beyond that, one would have to inquire of Autism Nova Scotia for additional answers, but that is the overview that I'm aware of.
But once again, I'm all for this. As a taxpaying citizen at Queens County, I think good pride in Queens County. And to have something like this and we can nurture all together on as a community, it's an investment for the future. It's another block that should be built on. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stan. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak this morning? Well, thank you very much. Your comments are very appreciated. We will move on to 6.0, approval of minutes. 6.1, regular council minutes, January 23rd, 2018. Are there any errors or omissions in the minutes that circulated? Hearing none, any motion to approve those minutes would be in order? Moved by Councillor Fancy, seconded by Councillor Fisk. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. 6.2, Lighthouse Heritage Designation Hearing, January 23rd, 2018. Any errors or omissions in those minutes? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
How about the motion?
Yeah, I should have motion.
One ahead of myself.
Yeah.
A motion would be in order to approve those minutes, Councillor Mew. second by Councilor Frehley. Any discussion now? Those are the questions. All those in favor of the motion? It's always exciting at council today, isn't it? Trying to move the agenda along a little too fast. Nothing under dangerous and unsightly under 7.0 today. 8.0 economic development. Under 8.1, we have tourism industry trade show free budget approval. Councilor Frehley, would you like to take the lead on this?
Yes, I would. It's so recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve funds from the 2018-19 budget for attendance at Saltscape Expo and South Shore Expo trade shows in the amount of $3,640.
Seconder to that? Councilor Kelly? Any discussion? CAO, Jennifer, would you like to comment on this?
Richard Lane, would you like to help out? Richard attends each year. Saltscape said they require registration and payment in advance of our budget year, although it does fall into our 18-19 budget year. So, and so motion we need to pre-approve.
Yeah, that's basically that. Yeah. So this would be for both Saltscape's Expo in April and for the South Shore Expo in Liverpool in May. Available for any questions.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
It says it's in its new home in Bears, right?
Yeah, so they just announced that. So for years it was at Exhibition Park, although there had been discussion about moving for a number of years. And so this year it will be at Bears Lake in the former Rona building on Horseshoe Lake Drive.
Yeah.
And that was just announced about a week or so ago.
So they're transforming that into some type of
exhibition center. Yeah.
Any other questions of councillors on this issue? Councillor Fancy?
Just a clarification. I hate to just say, like, well, we just approved this and somebody said, going to that. What do you gain from it?
It's a perfectly good question. And to be honest, we have considered the benefit of going to Saltscapes for a number of years. As with any form of advertising, it's very difficult to directly attribute visitation to whatever it is that you do. But in this case, when you're talking about 40,000 people walking past your booth who are the most important target segment of visitors to Queens County, it's kind of hard to pass up. I think the other point on it is when you consider the cost of a booth at $1,300, when you compare that with the cost of taking a print advert in a magazine, it actually represents very, very good value for money.
Explain, Richard, a little bit about the partners that you bring to the table. So it's not just the region of Queens; it's other.
That's right. So for several years now, not only the region of Queens has booked a booth space, but we've also then partnered with businesses, primarily accommodation providers, and also with events, festivals, and so on as a group, and sort of cost shared the booth space that we've had there. We will be looking to do something similar to that again.
And I will say that, as one of the partners, the presence of Queens there is quite amazing because, not only is it Region of Queens, it's Quarterdeck, it's White Point, it's, we take up quite a stretch there, so it's pretty impressive to have all the partners, including the ones from the area.
I think that's right, and it really highlights the value of events and festivals to the accommodation providers and vice versa. So, sort of putting a spotlight on that collaboration and the value to both aspects is a really important factor. I think the other thing that comes from Saltscapes that has been really positive is just the ability of tourism operators to cross-promote. So, when we're at Saltscapes, nobody who attends and is in the booth is there with a single focus for either their business or their event. You know, everybody who attends the show is there for the whole county and represents the whole county without the, without any particular business focus.
Any other questions of councillors? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It's unanimous. Thank you very much, and thank you.
Thank you.
We have nothing today under 9.0 corporate services, nothing under 10.0 engineering and works. Under 11.0 finance, we have under 11.1 resolution of pre-approval of the venture recommendation. Deputy Mayor McLeod, would you like to take the lead on 11.1?
Yes, I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approves the borrowing resolution for Main and School Street projects for pre-approval to participate in the spring 2018 debenture issuance.
The seconder, Councillor Fisk. And from CAO, Jennifer Keating Hubley, would you like to brief us on this?
So this is as we budgeted those capital projects going forward this year. The debenture is, it requires participation upon completion of the project, so we weren't able to hit the fall debenture in 2017. So we carried it forward. We have, remember, 50% funding from the federal government and 25% funding from the province, with the remaining 25% funding to be a borrowing in the region of Queens. Normally we would have used gas tax for sewer water upgrades, but because the federal component is in the funding formula for the CWF funding, we weren't able to stack the feds. The gas tax is considered to be a federal contribution. So this just puts us, we already have the temporary borrowing resolution approved, TBR was approved last year. By bringing it forward now and requesting council approval for the spring debenture, I won't be required. The TBR is still in effect and has not expired until March 13th, so I don't have to take that forward again to the minister for approval prior to the spring debenture if we approve that borrowing today.
Any questions or comments of councillors on this issue? Councillor Fancy.
Where we would have used the gas tax money to be able to help fund this project, do we have other avenues where we then filter the gas tax money too?
So you recall I had said moving into the next few years and the various projects that we were hoping to use the gas tax money for. Our gas tax was being depleted rather quickly. This project would have actually been out 2 or 3 years and would have been over a couple of phases and over a couple of years. I would not receive the CWF funding, so we wouldn't have been able to complete this project as quickly as we did and in this earlier year as we did, were it not for that funding piece. We wouldn't have had the gas tax available to us to cover it.
Councilor Kelly?
Yeah, I just wanted to be clear on this because obviously I'm not a financial person, so I like to sort of understand how these things work. And we've already done the work, and we've already, I assume, paid for that work, and now we're asking for to borrow, but we're going to borrow the money. Mm-hmm. How did we pay for it originally? Are we replacing money that we already spent on this?
That's right.
That was already earmarked in our budget? I'm not really
sure. So what we would have been, we would have used our own funds in the meantime, so we would have used reserve funds or our cash flow that existed, and then we will replenish that with the debenture.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
So, financially, I mean, you're the financial wizard here, Jennifer, and I don't quite understand a lot of this. But when you borrow, when you borrow money and then it's a debenture, so is an interest rate on that? You have to pay an interest rate for that. You pay an, we pay an interest rate for that, but it's just for a 1 year period.
No, this will be for 10 years.
Oh, 10 years. Oh, okay.
It'll be a 10 year debenture.
So it's 5.5%.
No, the interest rate's not final yet until MFC goes to actually make the purchase, once they know how many municipalities are participating into what dollar
value. Oh, I see, okay, yeah.
But it's, as we know right now, it will be less than 4%.
Okay.
We always have like a kind of a bulk purchasing rate, so they always have a very good rate when And that, yeah, it'll be over a period of 10 years and we'll be this fixed rate. So it will be a lower rate than we were, as if we were to go to the bank directly ourselves.
Oh, I see. Okay. So we're actually borrowing the money.
MSD borrows the money on our behalf and then we repay.
That's right. But if there's a collaboration between other municipalities,
we
get a better rate.
Any other councillor have a question or comment on this issue? Councillor Kelly?
Yeah, so I was, what Councillor McLeod said was, because in the resolution for pre-approval, it says you will borrow and pay back within a year, it says on there. Did I misread that?
The temporary borrowing resolution is always a temporary borrowing resolution, so it's for a period of a year, it expires each year. That gives us ministerial approval to then go forward and participate in the debenture. So the temporary resolutions where the projects weren't complete, the projects weren't complete yet, that just gives us permission from the minister to participate in the debenture at a later date. The debenture itself will be for 10 years or 15 years. Sometimes they're for 15 years. Sometimes they're for 20 years, 15 with a balloon or 10 with a balloon payment. Temporary borrowing resolution is the
agreement.
A 1 year maximum amount that the minister will approve the borrowing because it hasn't happened yet. It's a pre-approval.
Any other councillor? Are you ready for the question?
The question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. We'll move on to 11.2, Bylaw 14, Tax Exemptions, first reading. Councillor Muse, would you like to take the lead on 11.2?
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give first reading to the bylaw respecting tax exemptions. Copy of that.
Seconder for that motion? Councillor Fancy? CAO,
so this comes forward to Council. It's our bylaw where we grant the approval of exempting certain nonprofit and charitable organizations from having to pay property tax. We bring it forward to Council each year. There's two readings. A bylaw, of course, requires two readings. And a bylaw such as this, because there's the opportunity to review the properties that we are exempting, the bylaw comes forward as an amended bylaw each year with two readings. The only change this year was the Canoe and Camel Club has a different assessment account number. But other than that, we have no additions or deletions from the bylaw.
Any questions of councillors on this issue? Councillor Fisk?
Just one. The Rec Association for Greenfield, is that exempt?
It is not.
It's not on there, but I'm just wondering if I was exempt.
There's a certain number of, or a certain category of properties in the region of Queens which are exempt by PBSC on the roll. So
yes.
Would come in through to us on the assessment roll as already being exempt.
Okay.
From taxes, so we wouldn't have to then exempt them. These are just the ones that will come through on the PBSC Property Valuation Services Corporation assessment role as being taxable, and then we would grant them.
I understand. Thank you.
Deputy Mayor McLeod.
So Jennifer, the Debbie International School, that which has the old Billy School. So are they there?
PBSC exempts them.
PBSC. Okay.
Any other councilor?
Yeah, I just want to understand the part where it says the total tax rate revenue loss for these exemptions is approximately $240,000 based on 2017-18 tax rate. Directly attributable to the water utility is $66,000 and the remainder community groups. What does that last part mean?
The Region of Queens water treatment plant is on the assessment roll as taxable. And we exempt it through this bylaw.
Oh.
So it's a piece of this bylaw that we're exempting. The remainder of the properties are nonprofit and charitable groups that council has approved property tax exemption for.
Okay, so that it's $240,000 in total or $240,000 plus the $66,000?
$240,000 in total.
Okay, thank you.
Any other councillor have a question? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All committing facilities, I would ask the Recreation Director Megan Rogers to come forward. Under 12.1, permanent special event assistance grant. Councilor Dancy, would you like to take the lead on this one?
I so recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve a tournament special event assistance grant in the amount of $500 to the Western's Hurricane Major Bantam Hockey Club to be funded from the community's grants and program budget line of the Recreation and Healthy Community Department.
Seconded to that motion? Councilor Frehley? Megan, would you like to brief us on this?
Sure. So the Hurricanes have been with us from the beginning. They practice and play out of Queen's Place. So they've been awarded their league provincials this year. There's no registration fee for the teams to participate. It's their league provincials, so everyone comes. So the Hurricanes are tasked with covering the costs associated with us with it through sponsorship and grants. So it's seven teams, approximately 150 players, plus their coaches, plus their families and friends. They're there for the duration of the tournament, so it's 4 days. So they're staying here, eating here, and whatnot. So we're really excited that they're able to have this at Queen's Place, and we look forward to them coming.
Councilors have any questions on this? Councilor Fancy.
Megan, can I ask you, what's the process? Is it because of their placement in the league, or they just make the application to it? Or
yep, so they take turns. So each year you apply to host it, and this year they wanted to host it, and since their home rink is Queen's Place, they're hosting it out of Queen's Place.
Mm-hmm. Any other councilor? Councilor Kelly?
Do they fall under Hockey Nova Scotia?
Fall under Hockey Nova Scotia?
Yeah, are they a hockey program that falls under Hockey Nova Scotia?
Yeah, so they're Major Bantam, yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Any other councilor have a question? Comment? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It's unanimous, thank you. Now, under 12.2, we have selection of two representative volunteers.
As you've all received in your agenda packages, there's 18 volunteers in the listing this year for the Provincial Volunteer Award selection. We'll be picking today two from those pool. This year we had, as I said, 18 come in under the Ripple Effect program. It was a really good year for it. The agenda package has all the different bios. There are currently three volunteers that haven't appeared on the website, but they're going to be going up in the next week. So we're working as quickly as we can with such a big group of last minute nominations. When you put a deadline on things, people tend to work to the deadline. So I believe that's, unless anyone has any questions.
Carrie Gillian. 12.2, selection of the two representative volunteers. Councillor Kelly, would you like to take the lead on this motion?
Sure. The Region of Queens recommends that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality nominate the following: Carrie Gallant of Liverpool and Carolyn Conrad of Caledonia as the Region of Queens 2018 Volunteers of the Year, and that they will represent the Region of Queens Municipality at the Provincial Volunteer Award Ceremony to be recognized with an award for their community to their commitment to volunteerism.
Seconder to that motion, Councillor Traylor. Any discussion?